Hello and welcome back to the Monday MooCast. Although today it's a new cast. It's no Moo because our M, Andrea, is not here today. It's Michael Mara and I'm here with
Greg Obert.
And we will be your video game guardians this weekend. We will usher you into a new week of video game knowledge. Greg, are you excited?
I'm ready.
I've
been preparing my whole life.
Yeah, this is what your body's been preparing for.
Absolutely.
All week. All right. Awesome. Let's start as we do every week here on this episode 36, and let's talk about what we have been playing over the past 6 or 7 days. Greg, what have you been playing?
I have been playing pretty much Dead Space 3.
That's still?
Yes. I was trying to finish hardcore mode, and I'm happy to say I finished it last night. So that's all done. I'm going to move on to a couple of the other modes. Maybe I'll do one more mode, but after that I want to move back to Dead Island.
All right.
Still haven't finished that. And I want to see how Spartan Ops is going to end tomorrow.
Oh my god, yeah, that's right!
Or, I mean, I guess it will be today when this comes out.
But. Well, sure, but we live in the past and in the future here at Monday MooCast, so there's no telling where it actually, or when we actually are.
What is time, really?
It's all relative to the MooCast.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, you touched on something I'm really excited on for this week. Or is it last week? But Spartan Ops. I am psyched about Spartan Ops. I know that we've been a little bit bummed because they started reusing some of the old maps this last time, so we were a little bit pissed at that. But still, I mean, like 6 through 9 has been so much cooler than 1 through 5. I really can't wait till episode 10. I really like. They keep promising that it's going to be awesome. Like everything I'm reading online is like it's going to just blow everything out of the water. So like, I hope they don't pull a Gearbox and aliens us with Spartan Ops 10.
Oof. Well, we know what you've been playing this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyone who knows me outside of YouTube probably knows that I am a humongous aliens fan. Like, it really, aliens and Star Wars are my two nerdgasms. Oh, I guess Lord of the Rings, too. But, like, pretty much, if any video game company wants to secure money from my pocketbook, all they have to do is slap the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, or Aliens license on just about anything, and I will want to pre-order it. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, if it looks in any way good, I will pre-order it. And that's exactly what happened. So I was really excited to get Aliens this last week because of that, and also because of the awesome game demo that they showed at last year's E3 and that they've showed all over the internet over the past couple of months. Like, it really looked awesome. Of course, it was being, you know, made by Gearbox of Borderlands fame and Brothers in Arms fame, and I love everything Gearbox has done, well, outside of Duke Nukem. But, you know, like, so I was really excited for it, and in my personal life, I had just kind of, you know, gotten over a horrible thing that happened in our house, so, like, our house wasn't flooded anymore, and I was finally, you know, going to get ready to play some games again, and so I got Aliens, and I popped it in, and after about 1 hour, I was just swearing. I was just swearing and crying, and it was just ugly. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Well, explain, like, what was so bad about this game?
Oh, my God. It's just...
Let's start the laundry list.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. So, if anyone out there has seen the supposed gameplay demo from last year that Gearbox showed, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can find it everywhere, and we'll put it in our description of this episode as well, so you can find it right away. But it's beautiful. Like, the gameplay demo they showed last year was, like, tense and dark and had that awesome, like, strobe light effect from the movies, and it just... Like, the aliens were running up and down the walls, and, like, all the guys were screaming, and the AI looked awesome, and everything was dynamic, and it just looked incredible. But let me tell you, like, almost none of that is in the actual game. Like, the AI is the most horrible piece of crap I've ever seen, ever. Like, if there was an original Xbox game that had AI this bad 6 years ago, I would have traded it in. Like, I don't know what they were doing. Like, I don't know what... It must have been a colossal failure behind the scenes, is all I can say. Like, I don't know what was going on there. But, for instance, in the first time that my character encountered an alien, in the solo campaign, you would think that, like, everyone would go crazy, right? Like, you're a team of Marines, and no one's ever seen this kind of breed of species before, and suddenly it jumps out of a wall and tries to bite your face off. You would think that all these military guys who have all this weapons training would hop to and, like, shoot it full of 5 billion bullets, right? Well, right. Not my AI friends. Not at all. They stood there, and the alien literally pushed them, like, out of the way to get to me, like, through the geometry, and they didn't even do anything. They just stood there, and then I had to empty my whole clip into the alien, and then they were like, oh, hoorah, you know, like, I'm like, wait, you didn't even do anything, like, you didn't do anything. So, like, really, for me, the single player is just ruined, because the AI is so bad, and it's really, really unfortunate, because all the nods that they put in the game towards the original movie are awesome. Like, they obviously did their research about, like, the way the inside of the ship looked, where the Marines were before they sat down on the planet. They obviously recreated painstakingly all the set pieces from the movie. Like, just going through the single-player campaign to see those places that I've watched so many times in the film, that was incredible. And it's just so unfortunate that the gameplay, like, the guts of the single-player campaign that's driving all this is just broken. It's horrible. Like, I'm telling you, like, I would expect a handheld system to have more power under the hood as far as AI. Like, it's just horrible. So it looks like Aliens. It definitely sounds like Aliens because they got the sounds directly from the movie people, from Fox. But it just doesn't play like a real game. Like, it's like they didn't fill it in with any smarts. They just built the set piece. So it's like going to a carnival, going to a haunted house that's horrible, like, put together by high schoolers or something. So it's like, it kind of looks like a haunted house, but it's not really scary because the people running it are, like, high on pot, you know? So that's, like, kind of what it is. So I don't know if anyone who is listening to this watched my Aliens video I made, like, shortly with my mini review last week when it came out. But if they do, they'll see what I'm talking about. And they'll also hear my main kind of thought about the game, and that is that if you are a huge Aliens fan, you better get it right now and play some multiplayer, because at least that takes out the idiotic AI if you are playing it through co-op, because you can play through the whole campaign co-op with 3 other people. And if you do that, at least you're playing with humans, so then it becomes kind of fun, because then it's just like kind of an idiotic, you know, like, let's shoot all these moronic robotic aliens. Which is kind of fun for a little bit. And the multiplayer is actually fun because it's all humans then, and you're not, you know, you don't have to worry about the AI problems anymore. But, I mean, really, I don't even know if I will make myself finish the single-player campaign ever, because it's just a piece of crap. Like, the AI is so bad, like, I can't even deal with it.
Wow. That's some harsh criticism. Yeah. You know, I've heard, and you can probably vouch for it, that a lot of the levels in the campaign aren't even with the aliens. They're with, like, the mercenaries.
Right, and then they tried to put in this, like, human-on-human stuff in there. And I'm like, look, if I want to shoot other people, I'll play Call of Duty, you know? Like, this is supposed to be about ramping up the horror and, like, encountering this incredible species of killer animal that can destroy you. And because the AI is so bad, like, you don't feel as scared as you should being hunted by aliens. And also, because the AI is so bad, when you're fighting humans, they don't act like humans, and then you're like, why am I playing this and not Battlefield, or Call of Duty, or something else where I get to shoot humans, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, like I said, it looks good, I mean, I don't know, it doesn't look great. It looks okay. It looks like the Aliens universe. It definitely sounds just like the Aliens universe, which is awesome. But everything else about it is just a waste, and I'm at this point, I am really seriously considering trading it in so I can get top dollar and get Crysis 3 this week instead. And I never thought I would say that ever. Like, I am such a big Aliens fan. It was like the first movie I bought with my own money on VHS. Like, I have watched it 500 times. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself anymore.
Wow, it sounds like you just lost faith in all of humanity.
Well, yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. So that's pretty much what I've been suffering through playing this last week. It's been Aliens, trying to like it, and unfortunately not as much as I wanted to. It's kind of like what you went through with Assassin's Creed 3. It's like you want to so bad. Like, you desperately want the game to be good, but it's just not.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate.
But I think the problem with the difference, I would say, is with Aliens, at least, like, you had that really cool demo. You know, that E3 demo.
Because exactly.
I was the same way. I saw it, and I was just like, man, that looks amazing. Like,
right.
I like Aliens. I'll fess up. I've only seen the first two.
Yeah.
I haven't seen 3 or the other one.
3's a mess, but, anyway.
Okay. That's what I hear, but...
yeah.
And I love those movies. Like, they were great. And so when I saw this game, I was like, yeah, absolutely. This is really cool stuff.
Heck yeah.
But I was kind of waiting to see what the reviews were, because for a while there, they just stopped talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, if that's the case, if this were a fantastic game, they probably would have ramped up the marketing.
Right.
But they didn't.
Right.
And apparently it's a bad game, so...
Well, see, now we know. Now we know why they didn't, because you think if it was awesome, if it was like another Borderlands 2-esque hit for them, they would have been, you know, out there all over the place. But they knew behind the scenes, and so they hid, and that's what you do, I guess.
I guess.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Shame on you, Gearbox.
I know. Come on, Randy. Randy. We trusted you. Oh, well. Well, so after a couple weeks of being really, really down on politicians here on the Monday Moocast, we finally have a glimmer of hope that some people out there might finally have some common sense when it comes to the violence in video games debate. And it comes from Nancy Pelosi, of all people.
I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre.
It is actually very bizarre, because, I don't know, I try not to talk politics with anyone, but I do think that Nancy Pelosi is like 9 out of 10 times a moron, but she did say on Fox News that violence in video games is not real-life violence, and we should probably take a look at gun laws when we're worried about guns killing people and not keep attacking artwork, which is awesome.
Yeah, she did a really good job. Apparently the host was trying to shame... Wait, what did he say? He urged Pelosi to shame her friends into Hollywood. Oh, in Hollywood.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Into modifying the violent content they produce. And then she said, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother. But the evidence says that in Japan, for example, they have the most violent games and the lowest death mortality from guns. I don't know what the explanation is for that, except they may have good gun laws.
Right, or the fact that there is absolutely no proof, ever, that playing violent video games, even all day long, does anything except for make you a nerd, like us.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And then we rant about it, our frustrations, on a weekly podcast.
Right, right. But you know, hey, here at the Monday Moocast, we are people of our word, and when people come out, you know, in defense of our games, you know, with the evidence as currently presented by the scientific community, we will go out of our way to give them props. So you know what, Nancy Pelosi? You are not my favorite person, but good on you, lady, because that was a good turn. Good for you.
Amen.
Yeah, and along that same kind of debate, last week, the ESRB ratings president said that he believes that the rating system is at its top awareness. So let's see if we can call up this article. Here it is. So yeah. This is from The Escapist, and thanks for finding this for us, Greg, this week. It says, let's see, blah, 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 blah. The president, that's what it
that's
says.
That's exactly
it says,
what it says.
ESRB president, it's a she, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
ESRB president Patricia Vance told Game Industry, I don't know how much higher we're going to be able to push. We're now at about 85% awareness among parents with kids who play video games, and 70% say they use them all the time or most of the time, that being the ESRB. So she doesn't think that you're ever going to get to a point where 100% of parents who have kids that play video games will know about the ESRB or what it stands for. I just can't buy that. Can you buy that?
Yeah, I can totally buy that.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, well, look at the... What's it called? The MPAA. I mean, you still see parents bringing their little kids into R-rated movies.
Right.
You know, or whatever the case may be. It's like, maybe they know what it is, or they just don't care.
Right.
So, I feel like it's the same with this. The ratings will get out there, and most people will know what it is, but at some point, you can choose to ignore it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or some parents, unfortunately, are just so clueless that they... probably have no idea what it is.
But I really think that, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, who am I? Like, I don't have kids of my own yet, you know, so I guess I can't speak to this. But, I mean, I would like to think that if and when I have my own kid, I will know what they are trying to spend hours doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if it costs that much money. Like, if you're talking, like, mainstream games.
Right, but, I mean, that makes you a good parent, first off.
Well,
but,
yes.
Like, I mean, so many kids, I'm sure, just go home to their parents who are probably more involved in, like, TV or movies or books and, you know, probably whatever other things that they're involved in. Uh-huh. They don't know the first thing about games. So when little Timmy comes home and says, "Mommy, Mommy, can I get Call of Duty? It's this military game, you know, and it's totally fine." Right. It's like an action movie. They're probably like, "Oh, that's fine."
Right.
Not understanding, like, that the campaign might be one thing, but you right. know, when you take it online, it's a completely different realm.
Right. Well, I mean, if I'm speaking as a parent, like, the campaign's bad enough. Like, you got people blowing up and buildings falling down and tanks exploding and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But, I mean, my guess is, like, if you have, like, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, and you take them to see some action movie...
Right.
You probably equate that to a Call of Duty and say, well, if they're mature enough to handle this action movie...
Sure.
Then they can probably handle this Call of Duty thing, but it's not the same.
Sure.
If you ask me.
Sure.
So I think that the ESRB is great. I think they've done a fantastic job getting out there, but I don't think there's going to be a ton more that they can do from right. here on out.
Right. I mean, just be better parents, people. Like, come on. I don't know. I just, you know, that just gets me ticked off. And it just makes me unpopular with friends of mine that have kids, because I'm like, Jesus, like, why don't you know? Like, if I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars on something for my kid, I'm damn well going to know, like, what the heck it is.
Right.
But whatever. Maybe some people don't, I guess. That's silly.
Guess not.
So, talking about violence in video games. So, last week, all those DICE speeches came out, and I don't know how many of them you watched, Greg. I watched a couple, and they were actually really interesting. I love when they put those DICE speeches online. I watched the one from Telltale Games. Did you see that one?
I did not.
Oh my god, it was friggin' awesome. It talked about like story decisions and like how to affect real emotion from people. And it showed like face cam reactions of big time moments that happened in the Walking Dead downloadable series. It was awesome.
That was, like, sounds amazing.
It was really awesome. It showed like grown men like start crying and stuff like that. And he was like, "This is how we like made that happen." For
it's
the
a very
point.
Emotionally charged story.
Oh my god, yes it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So among these DICE speeches, a couple of them, notably David Cage and Warren Spector, gave a couple speeches last week that called for some kind of sweeping industry action. So why don't you elaborate for us, Greg?
Well, basically, they both came out and said, although David Cage more so, that I'm paraphrasing here, but the industry needs to grow up a little bit, and we need to kind of move away from violence. Like, that's the go-to thing nowadays. Like, if you want to make a game, there's got to be a gun in it.
Sure.
There's got to be some sort of shooting.
Right.
And he thought that wasn't really the best course of action. I mean, this is coming from the guy that was in charge of Indigo Prophecy, you know, right. Heavy Rain, and I forget the newest one that they're doing.
Is he doing that Beyond one?
I forget what it's called. But yeah, they have another one that's like that. And, I mean, I've only played Indigo Prophecy. I really want to play Heavy Rain, but I just haven't yet.
Right.
And those are just very different games. They're not the standard, like, stereotypical run and shoot.
Sure.
And I found myself appreciating that sentiment, because I feel like everything is just trying so hard to be Call of Duty.
Right.
And that, like, adding guns into everything has just become the norm. That we're missing out on good experiences. And I know he brought up the idea of Journey. I think he did. Or maybe it's just this opinion piece. But they talk about Journey.
Right.
You know, you could think of a ton of other downloadable games that don't have guns. Or mainstream games, although that's kind of shrinking. And I appreciate that fact. Would I say that we should take all guns out of games? No, absolutely not. But I am saying... What?
You weren't saying anything for a second.
I wasn't saying anything, sorry. What I am saying is that the industry should probably think about making games, like, from a different perspective. You know, like, we shouldn't all have to be shooters.
Right.
And I hope that this is just a trend, and I hope that the shooter craze kind of goes away. And the reason I call it a craze, or I hope it's a craze, is because, again, I think I talked about this last week, but how, you know, in the NES generation and the Super Nintendo generation especially, everything was a platformer. I mean, if you were something other than a platformer, you were pretty weird.
Right.
So, but that disappeared, and, you know, now platformers aren't as prevalent, and so I'm hoping that shooters will remain, you know, prevalent, but not everyone has to have a shooter.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that where I totally agree with what they're saying is in the kind of, like, Me Too attitude that the industry has right now. Like you're saying, like, everything has to be either changed into a shooter from something that used to be maybe a more action, a different type of action, if it's a long-standing series, or if something is introduced now, it seems like everything has to be a shooter now, or have shooting elements, or something like that. And I think we brought up a couple times that even in the awesome, excellent, outstanding Walking Dead, they had a bunch of foolish, like, first-person shooting elements. Like, why? It didn't need that to be so immersive, you know? So the Call of Duty-ification, if I can call it that, of the industry is troubling and doesn't need to occur. I think that people are just being lazy when they turn everything into, like, violent first-game shooters, and they should probably think of other ways to express their stories. But where I get a little itchy is when they talk about, like, how we have to evolve and make games about, like, being good families and stuff like that, because I'm like, no one wants to play that. And I would draw the conclusion... I mean, I would draw the metaphor to other kinds of artwork. So, for instance, movies, plays, musicals, things like that. They're not as effective without a really clear conflict. It's just not a good story without a good antagonist and or, you know, main conflict that the characters are fighting against. So whether that needs to be expressed in overt violence, I don't know if it's violence necessarily, but for me, I know that a game like The Sims, for instance, just has no appeal to me because there's really nothing other than things I create for my characters to have problems with that's a problem. You know what I mean?
So your thing is you want some sort of conflict.
Right. It doesn't necessarily need to be like all-out bloody limb-hacking action, but there should be some kind of defined mountain for me to climb. Whether that be like an antagonist I need to defeat in some way, whether that need to be some kind of massive, you know, journey I need to undertake that's going to take a lot of effort on my character's part and a lot of storyline development to get there, doesn't matter to me. It doesn't necessarily need to be violence, but I do need, you know, a clear kind of like quest for me. Otherwise, it just gets boring.
Right, I see what you're saying. A mountain to climb. Right. Or awkwardly jump up if you're playing Skyrim.
Well, right, yeah. Or like, yeah, super, super, super double jump all the way up the world if you're playing Skyrim. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, where I do agree with them, though, like I said, is in the whole, like, everything needs to be a bloody military first-person, you know, modern shooter. Like, that is super getting old right now.
No, it absolutely is. And that's why I wonder about Bungie's next game, Destiny, which got announced today, like, officially announced.
Oh, yeah.
Because even that sounds kind of like Borderlands, Halo-y kind of thing. And
right.
So I'm just like, you've been secretive about this for years. You're planning on making this into a 10-year thing.
It's incredible.
Like, yeah, incredible. They have over 300 people working on this thing right now.
Right.
I just, like, I wonder. I just have to wonder, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just got burned so bad by Gearbox, I feel like someone who just got jilted at the altar or something. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic, like, because I love Bungie, and obviously they changed the industry in so many different ways. I would love to believe that they're going to be able to do that same thing again and kind of usher us into whatever the new generation of adventuring and shooting and everything else will be, just like they did with Halo 2, you know, with the multiplayer suite and, you know, with the just the gameplay and the balancing of the Halo series. I hope they can do it again. I really do. But like you said, it sounds thus far like an overblown kind of pseudo MMO Borderlands-y type thing. And we already have that, and that's called Borderlands, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Indeed.
So, speaking of games that are kind of going against the let's make everything a shooter trend, I know the one that you were looking forward to the most is Rayman Legends. And as we reported last MooCast, unfortunately, it got delayed, and it's no longer a Wii U exclusive either. And that's, like, doubly painful to you, because you actually went out and got the system.
Well, it was a Christmas present.
You still got the system.
But I have the system, yes. And, it was incredibly frustrating, because I love Rayman Origins. I say it, like, every freaking week. Probably everyone who listens just wants to punch me in the face.
That's true.
Like, stop talking about that game. God. But it was just so much fun, and I couldn't wait for this one. And 3 weeks out, they cancel it or delay it until September.
That's a long delay, too, for something that was...
That's a long delay, yeah, for no reason.
Yeah.
And apparently, this past week, Michel Ancel, the creator of Rayman, came out and stood with the team and told Ubisoft that they need to keep the original release date on the Wii. And I personally cannot think of a time when a higher profile developer came out against his or her publisher and said, no, you're wrong. Like, you need to fix this.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that is biting the hand that feeds you.
Literally, you know? Yeah.
So, I'm curious if Ubisoft's going to do anything, to be honest.
I would say no, because they're too big to care about him, you know?
Yeah, but it makes me think, you know, like, are you going to... Would you risk possibly angering this guy and losing him?
Right.
Because if you lose him, I'm sure you'll probably lose a lot of people who enjoy working with him.
Right.
You know, who maybe aren't even related, but like, wow, if that's how you're going to treat your employees... Ubisoft, then screw you kind of thing.
Right, absolutely. We'll see what happens. I mean, like, it seems dumb from a million different perspectives to me. Like, if the game is ready to go, you have a brand new spanking system, and this is, like, a system seller, you know, because it looks gorgeous from what I've seen and played. I played that demo when I was waiting in line for Call of Duty when it came out, so... Like, it looks gorgeous, it plays buttery smooth, you know? Yeah. Like, it seems like it's a system seller for the new system. So if you're looking at it from a new Wii U owner's perspective, obviously you have reason to be pissed, because up until a couple weeks ago, you thought it was going to only come out for your new system, and who knows, it might have been a really big buying decision for you and this new system. So for those people, they're pissed off. For people who really like Rayman, you know... No matter what system it's on, they're ticked off because here was a new Rayman game finally, and now it's delayed for no reason. And it makes a dumb business decision to me as well, because, like, who cares if the other versions aren't done yet? Like, let's make your money while the money making is hot, you know? You got this new system to sell with it. It seems silly to me. Like, they should just release the Wii version and release the other ones in September or whenever they're done, you know?
Right, and for a company that just... spazzed out about the Wii U. I mean, they put so much into Zombie U. I mean, it didn't really do so hot.
That didn't
but
pan
like,
out, yeah.
They came out numerous times. They're like, "Oh, this system is amazing, and everyone needs to play it." And what did we talk about last week? Gamers don't understand the Wii U, and that's why it's not selling. And blah blah blah. And now here you are with the game, in my opinion, that everyone's been waiting for, from Ubisoft on that specific console, because it's like. Oh, you'll have Assassin's Creed 3. Nobody cares because it's been out for a few months and it sucks anyways.
Right.
Zombie U sucks, or is apparently just okay.
That's unfortunate.
So you finally have this good game, and you're just not even going to release it.
Right. You know what people are going to understand is that it's not coming out till September, so they'll just get it on PS3 or Xbox and not get a Wii U. That's what they'll do.
Yeah, exactly.
Game decisions, why?
I will say, though, what will make it better for me, this wait, is if the 360 version has online co-op.
Ooh, because you'll just get that.
Oh, right. I'm getting it on the 360, hands down. Like, I'm not getting it on the Wii, because nobody else I know owns a Wii.
Right.
But the other thing is, like, the biggest disappointment for me about the first one was the fact that it's not online.
Sure.
Which is frustrating, because it's like, oh, this is this great game that I can't share with friends, because Ubisoft is too lazy to buy servers.
Right.
So now if this one has servers, that would be absolutely awesome.
Right. They haven't announced anything, have they?
No.
Okay, so you don't know.
No.
Well, I mean, hopefully they'll add some cool stuff in for you. I'm skeptical, because it seems like the Wii one was totally done. So unless they make an enhanced version for 360, which would, of course, then piss off the Wii U people, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, well, they already shot themselves in the foot at this point. So
right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Might as well just piss off as many people as possible.
Yeah, it's like when you're gunning for everyone, you might as well just make sure that the whole world hates you.
Right.
It's kind of like the Hitler approach.
Right.
And you can
just say Ubisoft is Hitler?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, they're kind of video game Hitler, yeah. Well, maybe the wait will be made a little bit easier for you by a new Batman game in 2013. How would that sweeten the pot?
It would.
I mean, you love the other ones.
I do. I do love the other ones, but from what I've heard, Rocksteady isn't working on this next one.
Uh-oh.
By the way, we're quoting a story. Warner Brothers Interactive came out at a... Chief Financial Officer came out, John Martin. He talked about that there's going to be another Batman game this year. Didn't say for what, didn't say what it was about. But
I would assume Batman.
Well, yeah.
Throwing that out there, yeah.
That's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
But there was a rumor in this article that said unnamed sources said that Rocksteady isn't working on it. So we'll see. This article also speculates, you know, could this be something like the Call of Duty model? Where you have, you know, Rocksteady doing it one year and maybe another studio doing a Batman game the next year.
Oh, no. Then we're going to have to deal with the whole, like, studio mudslinging, just like the stupid Treyarch Infinity Ward debate that constantly rages everywhere.
Yeah. Now, for me, this would absolutely ruin the Arkham games. Because if they came out with one a year, no, that wouldn't be good for me.
Right. Like, how many things can happen to Arkham? Like, give me a break.
Right. And it was like the time in between Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, like they came up with a fantastic sequel.
Right.
But they needed that time to come up with it. And if like you do this every year, I don't think so.
Right.
So people are thinking that this might be the rumored Batman game that's set during the Silver Age.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's true. We'll find out, I guess. I am predicting, though, that this is going to be next gen.
I would think so. If it's only rumor mill right now, and it's not even... We haven't even seen anything yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Right.
Speaking of next gen, have you been following the promo videos for PlayStation 4?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Well, allegedly PlayStation 4. Sony keeps coming out every few days with a video... Uh-huh. About, like, each of their systems. So, like, last week, or earlier this week, they came out with something on the PlayStation 1, and yesterday it was PlayStation 2, so probably tomorrow will be PlayStation 3, and was it Tuesday or Wednesday? It's the big...
Oh, is their big reveal,
press conference that they keep hyping up, so...
You gotta believe that's PlayStation 4 all the way.
Oh, absolutely. And they're trying so hard to, like, buy into your nostalgia. Like, remember how awesome our other systems were?
Remember you used to like us before you bought Xbox and all your games on Xbox? Because, that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I bought PlayStation 1 with, like, I don't know, babysitting money or something. And then I got PlayStation 2, and then I, the most games I ever had for any system at any one time was my PlayStation 2 collection before I started selling it off. And then I got original Xbox and jumped ship at that point. Like, I fell in love with Xbox, and once Xbox Live came out, I was like, I really love this. And since then, I've been pretty much all Xbox all the way. I mean, I have a PS3, but I literally have three games for it, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, for me, the problem was it was just so expensive when came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know my brother has one, and I played a few games on it, most notably God of War 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, you know, whenever I find myself over at his place, like, I'm not playing it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just, what's your prediction? If this upcoming week shows us the PlayStation 4, how quickly do you think Microsoft pulls the trigger on rolling the curtain back on the next Xbox?
It's probably going to need to be pretty soon afterwards.
Right.
Because, you know, I went on GameFAQs today and I took their daily poll.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly, well, according to their poll, more people in the past month have spent time on the PlayStation 3 than they have on their Xbox.
What?
Yeah, it was PlayStation 3, PC, and then 360.
Hmm. Are they talking just America or worldwide?
It's whoever takes the poll. I don't know.
Oh.
Like, it's not like this official study done by anybody. It's just a daily poll. But it makes me wonder if PlayStation is gaining ground. Because I remember the sales figures late last year were very positive for them.
Right.
So, I don't know. But it just makes me wonder because, you know, they had so many problems with the PlayStation Network.
Right.
Just for that reason alone, I would never want to have it if somebody can just hack the whole network down for a month or two.
And, like, not like once. It happened like three times in 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do not like their system at all. Their online setup, I do not like at all. Like, they try to make it sound like, oh, they respect their gamers and they think that they're more adult, so they leave everything all open and you can just figure it out. But, like, that makes it vulnerable. And I do not feel good with PlayStation having any of my credit card information. I will say that. And I've never felt that way about Microsoft. Like, Microsoft Live is solid. Like, I know where everything is. It's laid out, you know, in a way that I can find things. It's easy to get in parties. It's easy to do cross-game chat. Like, it's easy to jump in games with people. Like, I don't know. I really like Xbox Live. And I do not like PlayStation Network at all.
No, I do too. And I mean, the other problem I have with PlayStation is just the DLC, I think.
Yep.
You know, I know obviously Microsoft pays gazillions of dollars for DLC first.
Well, that's their right.
Right, and they have that right, and that's fine. But when I look at a game like Skyrim, you know, which the DLC has it come out yet? Dawnguard?
It just did.
Yeah, like it just did, you know, and for a while there, it was in question of if it was ever going to come out.
Right.
You know, and so with that kind of uncertainty, I'm sorry, I don't want to sign up for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're going to really have to just knock it out of the park as far as, like, showing us what's next for them, for me to, like, want to buy that instead of the next Xbox, really.
Yeah. Well, the controller looks very interesting. At least those rumored pictures. I don't know if you've seen those.
Yeah, I have. It's like a little bit wider, so it's got like a little screen in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see this week, I guess.
We'll see. I still like the Xbox controller more because I'm too used to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like the triggers on the PlayStation 3 controller. Like how they changed L2 and R2.
I don't like that
those
at all. Yeah.
Pseudo, like, mushy triggers.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Mushy triggers are not fun.
No.
Yeah. I do not like my triggers like I like my mashed potatoes.
Just picturing you playing, like, a PlayStation 3 game with, like, mashed potatoes on your buttons now.
Right. It just doesn't work. It's just too mushy, so, yeah.
At least it's delicious.
It is delicious, yeah. So, Valve, one of our favorite developers.
That's a great segue, by the way.
Thanks, yeah. Well, actually, the segue portion is this. We're talking new hardware, right? And Valve was supposedly going to jump in the hardware race with the Steam Box. But now they fired all these hardware developers. So they fired people that were working on hardware development on the PC side and also on the Android side last week. And they haven't really said much about it other than Gabe Newell came out and said, like, oh, it represents that we're establishing a philosophy for the company going forward. But then he, like, didn't say what the heck that meant. So are all of his hardware developers, like, getting drunk in the back room and he doesn't like that? Or is he changing his focus and are they going to not do the Steam Box now? What say you, Greg?
Yeah, I don't know. Like he said, this quote I'm reading is from Destructoid, but he said, nothing's changing. Nothing's canceled. You know, no priorities are different. You know, everything's there. But yeah, like that's the only thing I can think of that people were really screwing around at work or doing something really bad. Because I can't imagine it being... I can't think of how to put this, actually. I can't imagine it being easy to get fired from Valve.
Right? Because if you're good enough to be hired by Valve, and especially if you were working on the hardware division of something that's so important to them, you would think that you're already a badass, you know?
Yeah, they want you there.
Right.
You know?
Right. So maybe they're, like, taking nudie pictures of themselves and putting Gabe Newell's face on them or something.
I want to see those pictures.
Am I right? I mean,
they're fired, so they can show them now.
Right, they should. I think they should. Show your nudie Gabe Newell pics.
Show your nudie Gabe Newell pics.
Well, whatever. I don't know. You know, like, maybe it's... maybe my wallet is happy about this, because God knows I don't need another piece of hardware vying for my attention in the next 12 months, because I know I'm going to get... I mean, it's a foregone conclusion I'm getting the next Xbox unless they really screw it up. So, you know, I'm not going to have any money anyway, so it's not like I'm going to be able to get a Steam Box even if it does come out. So.
Yeah.
But it would be awesome.
Yeah, man, now thinking about it, there's going to be spending, like, if I get the PlayStation 4, too, it's going to be like $1,000 this year on video games.
Well, yeah, and that's just talking getting the hardware in your house. That's not having anything to play it on, like, you know?
Well, assuming that they're $400 a piece, plus games.
Well, you think they're going to be $400?
Accessories.
Or more.
See, I can't imagine them being any more than that.
They better not be.
Just because of the economy, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, the highest price so far is the Wii U at $350, and that hasn't sold at all.
Right.
And I wonder if it's because of a software thing, or if it's just because people aren't willing to spend money like that right now.
Well, it's not about not being willing, it's not being able.
Well, it's not there, you know, money's not there.
Right, like, I could not, I mean, I would have to sell body parts at this point to get the next Xbox if it came out in the next couple of months, like, especially if it was $350, I don't know what I'd do.
Right.
I just wouldn't get it, is what I'd do.
Right, you'd have to wait.
Right. So, yeah, I hope that you're right, because it's gonna be a hurting at the wallet either way.
Yeah.
We'll see if Valve goes through with its Steam Box in the next year or two. It would be cool, I have to admit, to be able to, like, plug in a controller and access Steam on my big screen and just get all those awesome cheap games.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll see. So Cliffy B, of Gears of War fame, and also of super hot supermodel wife fame, and drives a Lamborghini all the time fame, he said that the horror genre is doomed at retail, because you only play it once, you rent it to get the campaign through, and then it's not scary anymore. And it's not worth it, so horror is doomed. What do you think?
I think it's he's full of crap, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit before we go. Yeah, his quote was, "In the $60 disc-based market, horror doesn't fly. It's the ultimate, quote, campaign rental that's played for 2 days and traded in, and I'm sure EA knows this in regards to Dead Space. When we're fully digital, we'll see more true horror games coming back." I thoroughly disagree with him on all of this.
Okay.
And I don't think... This is an article by Jim Sterling of Jimquisition fame,
sure,
from the Destructoid. But it frustrates me that such a prominent developer holds these views. And it's not just him. You know, as the article goes on to say, if you recall back from last year, Dead Space 3 supposedly needed to sell 5 million copies to secure its future. And Resident Evil 6 failed to meet Capcom's expectations despite selling almost 5 million copies.
Man.
Like, how is that considered a failure? How? Like, you have to stop and think, all right, what was going on in development at this point that 5 million copies is a failure? Like, what is 5 million times 60? Just
300 million bucks.
Just riddle me that. And I can't... Like we kind of touched on before, everything wants to be Call of Duty. And so instead of having realistic expectations and meeting those expectations, they want to make $1 billion day one. Like, they just have to. And that's not how horror games work. It's not how any game works. Like we've mentioned before, you have Call of Duty that can do that, obviously. You have Halo that can give it a run for its money. What other game do you know can make $1 billion day one?
Not realistically anything.
I mean, and we're talking about huge games out there. Like, Grand Theft Auto can't do it.
No way.
You know? Mass Effect couldn't do it.
Nope.
You know, like, the only thing that might be able to do it day one would be Half-Life 3. And even then, that's iffy.
Yeah, because you'd have to imagine that you have to have a supercomputer at this point to play whatever they're doing. And that's only one system, so you're not talking multiple console release.
Right. And so, like, the example that Jim gives in this article, he talks about Demon's Souls and how, you know, Atlas published it and they didn't really have a whole lot of expectations. They just wanted to make some sort of profit, and they knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously now we have Dark Souls, and Dark Souls 2 coming out, what, later this year?
Or
next year, whenever it is?
Later this year, yeah.
And so it irks me that everything is just trying so hard to be Call of Duty, not only in its play style, but also in its sales expectations.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And when it comes to something like Dead Space 3, I've enjoyed it a lot. I think it's a great game. It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily scary. Like, it has a couple moments, but especially co-op. Single player, it was had a little bit better atmosphere, but co-op, it wasn't very scary.
No, co-op's not scary at all.
And, like, the final two chapters, I'd say, there's this whole build-up towards the end boss, and, like, in co-op, it was nothing but just straight-up shooter action, just things coming out of the walls, and you just had to blow everything away.
Right.
Single player, a lot slower paced, and I appreciated that. But it's just, you just need to, like, get back to what makes games scary, and they need to just shoot for a profit. I think the biggest problem with some of these publishers is, like we talked about, they're so big that, like, anything under $1 million is chump change.
Right.
You know? And, like, so I'll share a short little anecdote that I heard from someone I know who was dealing with a car company, and he was trying to save them money on parts, metal parts that he was plating for them.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, I could save you if we do it this way, and if you know, work with me in this area, we could save you about $50,000.
Okay.
And the person that he sat across from said, honestly, I don't care unless you're talking six figures or more.
Wow.
And I mean, it just goes to show, like, how irresponsible some of these big businesses can be. Like, and that's just a car company. You go back and you think about some of these video game companies, like, they just don't care where their money is going.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So then, when they go to an investor's meeting, or they have budget meetings, and, like, you wonder where all this money is. Oh, now we need to sell more copies. Oh, we need to sell more copies. And it's just, they're going to run the industry into the ground if they don't keep themselves in check.
Right.
Like, I've heard people talk about, we might be on the verge of another game, like, collapse, industry right. collapse. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Happened in the 80s.
Right.
And while I hope that doesn't happen, I have to wonder.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that what you're striking upon here is also the need for innovation. And if they don't innovate, it is going to get stale. Like, even to the most Call of Duty diehards, like, it's going to get old. You know, we can only have so many games that play and look exactly the same way. And if everything else is trying to crowd the market with other things that look and play the same way, even the most hardcore gamers that try to get every new release are going to just stop buying them because it's just not going to be fun anymore. There's going to be nothing to look forward to that's any different than anything else you just bought. And if these developers are just saying, like, look, we're only going to put money into things that can guarantee us $1 billion, and the only thing doing that right now is this one kind of playstyle, so we're going to make everything that same way, eventually it is going to reach a critical mass, and all of us will get sick of it, and that will be it.
Yeah.
Because there'll be nothing else out there. There'll be nothing else to play. It'll be, like, the one sports game that's out, or something that looks like Call of Duty. And that'll be the only thing that you have to do.
Yeah.
So. You know?
Let's hope that with this week of PlayStation 4 most likely being announced, that we start to see some innovation and we start to see some realistic expectations of what's to come, because personally, I think it's horrific that they keep driving horror into the ground.
Oh, I like that.
You know, like, it drives me nuts because I love scary games. And I mean, you yourself had such a bad experience with one this week. You know, Aliens is supposed to be a scary game, and they made it Call of Duty.
And they made it horrible Call of Duty and didn't spend enough time on it, so I don't want to play it when I can just play Call of Duty now.
Right.
Unfortunate.
So.
We'll see what happens, but, you know, until next time, hope is going to spring eternal here at the Monday Moocast. and like you said, it's not really that scary, but we can hopefully get back into some co-op Dead Island, have some fun with that. And we'll see what the new week brings.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So, folks, thank you so much for listening, for liking, for commenting. You can find us, of course, at our YouTube channel. You can also find us at our website, www.mondaymoocast.com. And on iTunes, we would love if you would rate and comment for us so we can continue on our quest to become new and noteworthy. We can only get there with your help, with your likes and comments. Anything else, Greg?
That's about it for me.
All right. Awesome. We'll see you next time, folks. Moo!
Moo.